Well, amen. Well, God bless you for being here tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, I wanted to use as a title, Are You Due for a Harvest? Are you due for a harvest? Amen. Now, in John 10:10, very familiar scripture, but I'm reading it from the Amplified translation. You can just listen if you don't have an Amplified. And it declares, Jesus came. How many of you know Jesus already came? He came that we may have life, may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance. Well, Scott, am I on the lapel? Switch. Testing. Okay, I'm good. Thank you. Jesus came that we may have life, have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Notice that. To the full till it overflows. You know, it sounds just like God. God who is a God of abundance. I mean, he's a God of increase. He's a God of overflow, right? It sounds just like him. Sounds just like our Father, right? Now, this Bible has the answers that we need in order to enjoy life, but also to have it in abundance, to the full till it overflows. Amen. That's how we're going to know how to live life the way God intended it to be lived, and how we're going to experience this overflow of this abundance. How many of you know it's all in the Word? God wouldn't tell us that we could have something and not give us the instructions of how to obtain it. Right? So everything is in His Word in order to enjoy life, but not only to enjoy life, but have it in abundance. Amen. To where it overflows. Now, overflow is defined to flow or to run or spill over as a river. Okay, God's given us a picture what overflow is. It's kind of like a river that goes above, beyond, and it spills out and overflows. That's the kind of life that God, Jesus, came to give us. Amen. Amen. He didn't just come to give us life just so that we can get by. Or we can just survive. Or if we can just get through the week and I'll be fine. No, that doesn't sound like abundant life, right? Amen. Now, it's clear that it's God's will. First of all, we have to know that it's God's will for us to enjoy life, but to have it in abundance. We have to believe that this is God's will for our lives. So if you don't believe it, then you won't experience it. Amen. But I fully believe that this is God's will because it's, I don't know, your Bible, red letter, Jesus speaking, then that's it. That settled it. This is what God says. This is what God says. This is not my opinion or man's opinion. This is the Word of God. Either we believe what God says or we don't. And if we believe what God says, then we're going to have what God says we can have. Amen. As believers. So it's clearly God's will for each and every one of us to enjoy and to experience the divine by living and experiencing the overflow of God's provision every day in our lives, living in the overflow. And what does living in the overflow means? Well, living in the overflow is just that. We give up our tithes, we sow seeds of offerings, we pay all our bills, and we have much left over. That's what overflow is. Yeah. Overflow is not, I wonder which bill should I pay today, or, you know, or Peter pay whatever. No, overflow is we give up our tithes. Because that's what keeps us connected to our covenant. We sow seeds of offering. That's what's opened the windows. We pay all our bills. And we have much left over. Amen. That's what overflow means. Well, that's what overflow should look like. Let me put it that way. That's how overflow should look like in our lives. Based upon John 10:10, I came to give you life, but give you abundance to the overflow, right? So as your pastors, you know, I'm excited, we're excited for each one of us because we're right where God wants us. Amen. And that we're using our faith and believing God for you and all of our faith families to experience this overflow. God's divine supernatural provision. Amen. By living in the overflow in every area of our lives. Praise God. And what I mean by every area is spiritually. Spiritually, we're strong, right? Physically, we're healthy. Amen. Emotionally, we're stable. And mentally, we're sound. We have soundness of mind. And financially, we are increasing. All right? This is what I mean by total life prosperity. You remember what Pastor Eddie Asato said last Saturday? That if you are sick and not well, you're not able to enjoy life. You can't enjoy your money. You can't enjoy your family. You can't enjoy your relationship. Why? Because you're ill. You're not well. Well, let's bring that into all arenas. If we're not financially prospering, then we're not well either. God wants us to be total prosperity, where every area of our lives is just thriving and just growing and increasing, right? Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, all of these aspects, God wants us to prosper in these areas. You know, our prayer or declaration, or our declaration prayer, you know, we're big on declarations, right? But our prayer of declaration is that you will have a surplus of total prosperity, blessed beyond measure, and reaping an overflow of your harvest. That each and every one of us will have more than enough to furnish the abundance to further the gospel and God's kingdom, and to also provide for our families. Praise God. Yeah. You know, as I mentioned this past Sunday, I was listening to Pastor Keith Moore, one of his teachings. And as I mentioned, he was flying, this happened back in 1999. He was flying back on one of his trip of a conference that he has held. And on his way back, he was thinking about, you know, certain things about the word, you know, of faith, about sowing, reaping. And he felt within him, the Lord impressed within him and said, does reaping come automatic? Does the reaping of your harvest comes automatic? And now just keep that thought. Is reaping automatic? Okay, just keep it in your thought. You know, because here at Faith Family Maui, you know, we believe strongly in the principles of sowing and reaping. Amen, we do. In giving and receiving, in not only in our finances, but in all areas of our lives, you know, sowing and reaping. But especially tonight, we're talking about finances. So we're specifically talking about our finances, sowing and reaping. Is our reaping automatic? We believe that God is a good God. I heard somebody say tonight that God is a good God, right? And that it's His will for us to prosper and be in health, even as our souls are prospering. So we know that it's God's will for us to prosper, right? But how many of you know we're growing in a greater revelation in the times that we're living? We're understanding who the Holy Spirit is. He's the teacher. We're yielding our lives to the Holy Spirit. We're having everyday conversation with the Holy Spirit. We're asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us as we read the Word of God, to reveal God's truth to us so that we can see, you know, with fresh eyes and fresh faith, right? Fresh revelation. Scriptures that we've seen before, we're looking at it and say, wow, there's something else in there. Because God's word is a seed, right? It's a living word, right? It's a living word. It's a word that is impregnated with life. Yeah, it's an incorruptible word. It's an incorruptible seed. It took an incorruptible seed placed in your heart so that you could receive salvation. Amen. When we talk about our finances and as faith people and faith churches, what we come to realize as we walk in a greater revelation of especially sowing and reaping, we come to realize that there's a lot of teaching. And the emphasis is how to give or how to sow, which is true. We need to sow, right? First of all, you cannot reap nothing unless you sow. Let's set that, you know, Galatians 6, right? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. Now, that's a spiritual principle. And that will work for believers as well as unbelievers because it's a principle. It'll work for anyone who works it. Whether they understand it or not, it'll work because it's a principle. Just like the law of gravity. Everything goes up, must come down. Whether you're born again, not born again, guess what? You go up, you got to come down. That principle works for everybody. Amen. But we want to work it to where it's working. If there's things that we got to change, then let's change it. If there's things we got to add, let's add it. Or if there's things that we're doing wrong, let's tweak it so that we can experience our harvest. Amen. I don't need my harvest when Jesus takes me home. I need our harvest now. Amen. And therefore, we need to understand the Word of God and how to work it, right? So in the faith churches, we've put a lot of emphasis on sowing and how to give. But there's another side. We've never taught on how to reap. How many know there's two sides? Sowing and reaping. We've emphasized on sowing, which is great, but we've never emphasized the teaching on how to reap our harvest. Amen. It's time to reap our harvest. Because I'm due, you do, we're all due for a harvest. Hallelujah. And as I've said, here at Faith Family Maui, we believe strongly about sowing and reaping. Amen. And like I said, we know that God's a good God. He wants you blessed. He wants to prosper you. Praise God. But the question we need to ask ourselves, just as God has asked Pastor Keith, is reaping automatic? You know, there's Christians, even some of us, here who've sown, we've given, we've sown of our finances faithfully, right? We've given, we're sowing, and then after that, what happens? What happens is we just sit down, relax, and think about this. We think our part is done once we've sown. We sow. We sit down, we relax, and say, God, now it's all up to you. Not. Everybody say not. And we think that harvest will automatically come on us just because we've sown. We sow, we confess the word, we give, we confess the word, and we wait. And we look at the seed that we've sown, and if you're like most believers, you found yourself wondering, what has happened to my harvest, right? I've thought it, you've thought it. You've sown, believed, prayed, and you waited. I've experienced some of my harvest, but not to the extent that we've sown. Can you say amen? Amen. We've experienced some of it, but not to the extent that we've sown. It's time for a harvest. It seems like our harvest is long overdue. Amen. But it's not God's fault. But our harvest is long overdue. How many of you can say, my harvest is long overdue? Every hand should be up to tonight. But we want to change things. You know, my harvest is long overdue. I've been waiting for the overflow. I've been waiting for my breakthrough. Amen. Now think about this. Could it be through wrong thinking, you know, wrong thinking all this time, that we've been living it all up to God to do the reaping and to bring in our harvest? No, just think about it. You know, God calls that ignorance and confusion. And we know that God is not the God of confusion, right? He's the God of order. The devil is the God of confusion. And I think if we can get out all the confusion, then we can pretty much know how to reap our harvest. We all know, and we've been taught this, that there's God's side, and then there's our side. There's God's part that he does, and there's our part that we have to do. You know, Pastor John, he'll be with us in a couple weeks. And I think not last year, but the year before when he was teaching on prophecy, he was saying that 80% of prophecy is self-fulfilled. It'll be fulfilled whether you believe it or not, right? When the prophets say there's a child that's going to be born, his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, whether you believe it or not, it happened. So it's self-fulfilling. Amen? So you have 80% of prophetic being self-fulfilled, that it'll come to pass. When God spoke it to the prophets, it came to pass. But how many of you know the 20% is some of those promises? The promises of God are yes and amen to them that believe. And those are the promises that has conditions. In order to experience those 20%, you have to do your part. God will do his part, but we have to do our part in order to see it come to pass. So there's responsibility that comes with reaping our harvest. And these are one of the conditions, this is one of the promises, that we have to do our part in order to experience our harvest. Amen. So we have an important role as well when it comes to reaping our harvest. There's no doubt that each one of us are generous and proficient givers. We are a giving church. In fact, Pastor Eddie sent me a text the other day. He said, wow, your people, your church, they love to serve. They love to serve. It's evident. But we love to give as well, right? You know, at Faith Family Maui, we love to give and we live to give. Amen. And that will never change. Praise God. But we want to also be not only proficient sowers, but we want to also be proficient reapers. Skillful in reaping our harvest. Amen. You know, I used to be engineering at Kapalua, ran the maintenance department and grounds, and I had a crew of six Filipino men, older men. And every time that they had to use their machete or their bolo knife, man, they'll be filing that thing. They'll take like 20 minutes because they don't want to use a dull knife. And that thing is sharp. Yeah, it's sharp. You know, and God wants us to be sharp, right? He wants us to be proficient. And what happens is when those bolos are sharp, I mean, when they cut, it cuts. It's proficient. Yeah? You don't want to be cutting stuff and, you know, banging one little thing for, you know, 10 minutes. But, man, those guys, they go, man, it's like, they're like, man, they just tear up. but they're proficient. But we also want to be proficient reapers. Anybody want to be a proficient reaper tonight? Proficient in reaping a harvest. Amen. Turn to me to Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. You guys learning something tonight? We're learning how to reap our harvest. And I believe we're going to start seeing. Amen. In fact, our harvest is on the way. It's just sitting someplace and waiting for you to call it to come home to you. It's not lost. It's waiting. Amen. It's waiting. In Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, I'm reading from the NIV translation. It says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Now think about that. Right? A lazy person makes for poverty. We're simple, right? Not to use Hebrew or, you know, Greek. I mean, it just spells it out right there. Lazy person, poor, diligent person, rich. Right? Or rich hand brings wealth. He who gathers crops in the summer is a prudent or wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Some of us have been sleeping during our harvest. Amen. Not anymore. The New Living Translation says, lazy people are soon poor, but hard workers get rich. A wise youth harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during the harvest is a disgrace. Now, the scripture we just read, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5 and 4, is this scripture true as any other scripture in your Bible? Yes. Yes. Okay. So in saying that, to say it's not God's will for some to be rich is also true to say that it's not God's will for some to be diligent. Because according to God's word, that word diligent moves you closer to becoming rich. Did you see that? The diligent makes one rich. So as I'm moving towards diligent, diligent moves me closer to becoming rich. We just read what the word says. Amen. While laziness moves us away or can even end up poor, according to the text we've just read. You know, I'm one for hard work. How about you? Amen. Now, how many of you know that the harvest must be reaped when it's ripe and ready? Speaking in the natural. You know, when it's time to harvest, there's only a narrow window of opportunity for those crops to be harvested. You know, before when we saw the sugarcane trucks, I mean, you know it was harvest time. Man, these trucks, they work overnight. They work overtime, bringing in the harvest, right? So there's a small window of opportunity that's given to them. And when I was thinking about this, that when it's time to harvest, there's only a narrow window of opportunity. I felt impressed by the Lord to declare, it's time for your harvest. Amen. It's time for your harvest. Yes. Some of you should grab that and declare it. It's time for my harvest. And being that it's just a narrow window of opportunity, during the crops can be harvested, what happens is the crop can start to ripen or spoil, or the weather can suddenly change and affect the harvest of the crops. Or some kind of pest or infestation can occur. Did you know that many cotton farmers, they fret about their crop still left out in the field? See, when they harvest their crop, They become fretful because they were not able to gather it out from the field. Because what happens is, because the quality and the value of cotton is degraded and devalued, if it rains on the cotton bowls are open and it rains, what happens is the cotton becomes devalued. Because now the cotton is not fluffy, but it's all wet and soggy. Right? Not only is the quality of cotton be affected by the rain, but the possibilities of the fields won't be accessible in harvesting the cotton. Amen. So they're not able to get to the cotton. Amen. And if they can't get in time to the cotton, then they lose the crops. And it'll be a tremendous loss, right? Now the flip-flop side to that, you can be sure these farmers, if they catch a dry spell or clear weather during the harvest season, these guys will work their tails off 24/7, nonstop, to get that precious crop out of the fields because they know what can happen. Amen. The modern translation, modern English translation says, we must not sleep through our harvest and allow it to stand in the fields or allow it to sit out there in the fields. Amen. And that's where our harvest is. It's sitting out there and it's waiting for you. There's a story of a businessman who drove down a country road where he saw three boys lying under a shaded tree, right? He got out of his car and he said, I'll give $20 to the laziest man that is here. The first man jumped up and says, it's me. I'll take the money. The other one said, no, it's not you. The third man says, no, it's not you either. And he said, sir, if you don't mind, please roll me over and put the money in my pocket. That's lazy. Back in the day, we used to say, that's hopeless. How many of you know we can't be lazy and sleep through our harvest? Amen. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 26 through 29. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Just say, praise the Lord if you're there. All right, we're ready to go. And it says, Jesus also said that the kingdom of God, how many of you remember what the kingdom of God means? The way by which God does things, right? Yeah. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things. Yeah. So when there's the kingdom of God, it's saying the way that God does things. So we can pretty much say the way that God thinks is like a farmer, okay? It's like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Now, that's pretty simple. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seeds sprout and grow. Notice that. But he doesn't understand how it happens. Verse 28, the earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the head of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. Verse 29, as soon as the grain is ready, notice, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Notice that. The farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Now, did you notice that the man did the sowing? By scattering the seed, right? He scattered the seed. He's sowing. God gives the increase. He says he doesn't know how the thing grows up. So God is the one who is involved in that aspect. So it's God gives the increase, right? Paul says there's one who sows the word, there's one who waters the word, but there's one who, God is the one that brings the increase, right? So God gave the increase, but note, the man, the farmer, also had to do the reaping of the harvest. You guys see that, right? He had to go in and harvest, reap the harvest. It wasn't God who did the reaping of our harvest. It was the man, the farmer, who sown the seed. So it's not God. So in other words, we must become sowers and mowers. Did you get that? We are sowers and mowers. Like lawn mower. Not only are we called to sow, but we're called to mow. If that makes sense. Turn to the person next to you. I declare I'm a sower and I'm a mower. Amen. It goes hand in hand. Just like faith without works is dead. Right? They go together. Faith and works. Sowing and reaping. Sowing and mowing. They have to go together. Not one without the other. In order for it to be complete. Yep. We are sowers and we are mowers. So what that means is proficient in sowing of our seed and proficient in reaping of our harvest. That's what it means. All right? So the Lord has given us the responsibility of reaping our harvest. We sow seeds, God gives the increase, but we are to reap or gather the harvest. Praise God. To do so, we cannot be lazy, but we must be diligent and aggressive. If we are to, you know, if we are to leave our harvest in the field, naturally it'll rot, right? But how many of you ever ordered something online? We all did, ordered something online. And usually when you order something, a merchandise or something, especially here in Hawaii, there's always a shipping cost that is tacked on, right? Yeah. Automatic. And with that shipping, you know, it tells you that we're going to ship this for X amount of money so that you know, it'll get to you. So they're charging us for that, which is fine. But what they also do is they allow you to track your merchandise from the time and date that it was ordered and from the time and date it leaves that state and it goes to the next state, right? And it shows you can track your merchandise from location to location till it gets to your destination, Kahului, and you get a text. Your package has arrived. And you can follow it. You can track it. And I remember ordering some vitamins a couple months back, and it was already 10 days. They tell you you'll get it in 7 days. So it was already 2 weeks, 10 days. So I called the office. Well, first I looked on the tracking device. You know, it left Philadelphia. Then it came to San Francisco. But it stayed there. It's sitting there for no reason. So I called the office. I called and says, hey, this is so-and-so. I ordered some vitamins, and it's already 10 days. So they said, oh, Mr. Harper, let me call, right? Let me make a phone call, and we'll get it all straightened out. So a day and a half later, I got a text. My package was in Kahului in my mailbox. All I had to do was make a phone call. Because for some reason it was stuck in San Francisco warehouse. And like I said, some of our harvest is sitting stuck someplace. It's en route. It's en route. But you got to make a call so that it hears your voice and it knows where to come. Because you have shut your mouth, it doesn't know where to go. So we're going to have to start declaring. So that it can find you. Like I said, your harvest is not lost, but it's sitting, it's waiting for you to call it. Call it in to its final destination. Amen. So in saying that, purpose in your mind, purpose in your heart today, right now, about being aggressive about reaping your harvest. Matthew 11, verse 12. Matthew 11, verse 12. You can just write this down. God's word translation declares, from the time of John the Baptizer until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Notice that. From the time John the Baptist came on the scene until now, this very moment, God's kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, whether you realize it or not. Because the forceful people have been seizing it. Amen. We got to seize a harvest. We got to be aggressive with our harvest. Amen. If we are going to obtain and enjoy what belongs to us, we have to be aggressive, not only in our sowing, but aggressive in our reaping our harvest as well. Leaving nothing on the table for the enemy to steal, because that belongs to you. That's mine. Remember, every financial seed that you have ever planted or sown is available if you haven't reaped on it yet. Refuse to give up. Refuse to give up until you receive your harvest. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let me just read it. Just listen. Just write it down. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. How many of you know sowing is well-doing? Yeah, but sometimes we can get weary. For in due season we shall reap. This is God's word now. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I think that's where most of us are, if we faint not. God, I'm ready to pass out. But this is God's promise. For in due season, this is our due season, right now. We shall reap if, that if is up to you and I. It gives a connotation. If you do this, then you'll have that. If you don't, then you won't have that. If we faint not. You know, so many times we sow, we believe, we confess, and we wait. We sow, we believe, we confess, and we wait. And it seems like, it seemingly seems like nothing's happening. But let me tell you, something is happening. Yeah. You know, Paul tells us, do not be deceived, or do not be misled, right? God is not mocked. This is God's word. Whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. That's the word of God. And that's why he's saying, don't be misled. Don't be deceived. God will not be made a fool of. This is his word. He says, if you reap, you will sow. If you faint not, don't give up. You can take his word to the bank. Amen. How many of you ever seen a farmer bringing in harvest from their fields? You know, the farmer doesn't buy a field that's ready with harvest. Did you know that? You never find a farmer goes, oh, I bought this field ready for harvest. No. This work. The farmer, the actual, his harvest begins when he first plants the seed. He plants the seed in the ground and for many months before. And his work doesn't stop there. When he gets the seed in the ground, he has to cultivate it, work over it, water it, dig around it, and keep the weeds out from it. Keep the weeds out. Amen. He gives it an all-around attention to make it produce so he can go out and gather in the harvest that he is expecting. The Passion Translation says this, and don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartening in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. Your harvest is coming. When you wake up in the morning, these are some of the declarations you have to declare. I'm expecting my harvest anytime now. Today might be the day my harvest shows up. My harvest is coming. My harvest is en route 20 Hoku Puhipaka Street. Whatever street you are. That sounds kind of silly, Pastor Irwin. Well, just telling you how to reap your harvest. And if it sounds silly, then I'll take your harvest. Just give me your address and I'll declare your address for me. So these are declarations we have to make every morning based on the Word of God. This is how we reap, right? Now, the way we reap our harvest is by our words. Words of faith, right? The way we release faith is through our words. A heart of faith, words coming out of our mouth, words of faith, right? So this is how we harvest, through our words. Isaiah 41:15. You can just write it down. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 41:15. It declares you will be a new threshing instrument with many sharp teeth. You will tear your enemies apart, making chaff of mountains. That word teeth in Scripture is the Hebrew word, which actually means the word mouth. Mouth. Okay? Instead of teeth. So we can say the words of your mouth, spoken in faith, are like great farming combines. You know those combine farming equipments that goes out and harvest the corn or the wheat or the soy, these big machines that they sit and they drive. When you speak out of your mouth words of faith, they are like those great farming combines that go out into the fields, right, to reap and to bring in your harvest. Your words, your mouth. Begin to speak, begin to declare. Amen. We also use our words to send out ministering angels out into the fields to bring in a harvest. I remember Brother Kenneth Hagin would always say that he doesn't pray for finances. But what he does is he prays for the angels to go out and bring in the finances from out in the field and bring it into him. So we got to dispatch our angels and begin to release them on assignment and bring it into us. So we got work to do. Just like I said, the farmer goes out and plants the seed, but he cultivates the seed, and he nurtures the seed, he waters the seed, he trims the ground and keeps the weeds out so that he can, this harvest will grow and that he can reap it. These are all part of using our words every day. Amen. we might have to do a part two. But let's do something right real quick. All right, so we want to use our words tonight. Amen. So let's make this declaration. Abraham's blessings belong to me. Abundance and prosperity is God's will for my life. So I can say and I can speak. And therefore I call myself. I call my family. I call my church. Debt free. In Jesus' name. I declare my mortgage, my car, credit cards, and all debts paid off. I owe no man nothing. God's favor and blessings are active and fully operating in every area of my life. Everything I do prospers. God's wisdom helps me to make sound financial decisions. I refuse to worry about my financial situation because I'm a tither. I'm connected to my covenant. And because I tithe, my finances are protected from the devourer. Therefore, I'm blessed and highly favored by God. Amen. So be it. So be it. So if you need a tithe offering tonight, just lift your hands. Sow your seed tonight. So when you sow your seed tonight, when you drop your seed, declare, right? Declare after you do it now. I sow my seed and therefore I declare I reap my harvest now. Amen. Let's make that complete. Our sowing and our reaping.